News starts right now.
So I'm grateful to the hardworking staff of the Department of Agriculture and Feeding Florida for making this program a huge success. Attacking food insecurity unites Floridians across the political spectrum like nothing else I've ever seen. Everyone I've spoken to about the program supports making sure the children in Florida don't go to bed hungry. It's uniting. It's powerful. It's the right thing to do. It is a biblical calling and a clear and present expression of love as an action. Love for Florida children, love for struggling Florida families, and love for the global brand of what Florida holds true.
I will tell you, I have not listened to an awful lot of Senate President Ben Albritton speaking, but I was so impressed with him yesterday. For the stuff that we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour with the importance of understanding the value the Senate plays in stopping things from happening and messing up the works and making government move slow, which is the way our system is designed to work. It's not designed to work fast. It's specifically designed to not work fast, and the Senate is a part of that. And then talking in the second half of his speech about things like, you know, helping kids. It's right. It's biblical. It's our brand. It's exactly the kind of thing that unites people because it's a good thing.
I would be remiss if I didn't address the reality that affordability is top of mind for many Florida families. Pandemic-era inflation did a number on the national and global economies. The impacts are real. They are felt by Florida families every single day.
See, he's doing what I thought Governor DeSantis could have done a better job of, which is acknowledging the failures. Because one of the things in a debate, in a discussion, anywhere you go, if you got to think about what the other side is going to say in response. And if you can say it first, better than they say it, you completely defang their power to use it against you. Because if you get up and say, look, we have an affordability crisis and maybe there isn't a lot we can do about it, but we're trying, but I'm well aware of the problem. And then, you know, Lori Berman gets up there and says, yeah, the governor hasn't done anything about affordability. Well, she can do that because he didn't admit it. But if he admits it, she just sounds stupid to raise it as an objection. It's one of the most powerful things you can do, by the way, to win arguments by preempting the objection. And also, just in relationships, you know, just don't even think about like big political stuff or public. Think about it in a relationship. If you lead with the problem and admit the problem, Yeah. You know, you're pacing the person. You're getting them on your side. You're doing a lot to acknowledge that there's, you know, fault on your side as well. And I honestly, this was one of my favorite things that I heard in a long time from a politician. First, him saying that affordability is a big problem, and then this.
We have to be honest with constituents. The ability of the Florida legislature in a 60-day session to influence the price of goods and services within a state economy that is largely driven by national and international economic trends, it's pretty limited.
Yes. Tell people, it's expectation setting, right? Hey, I would love to be able to fix this stuff, but guess what? We don't have the power to do a lot fast that will make a big difference anyway. We're going to do what we can. And it's not that we don't care. It's that we just literally don't have this power. Unlike, you know, Mom Downey promising everything you can, which he's not going to be able to do most of what he promises to do. But I love the honesty, the expectation setting, you know. But then also when he gets down toward the end and he's, again, really laying out the case for government by principle, government by values. Remember we talked about last hour with DeSantis saying that to have the right, to have the freedom that our government presupposes, you have to have decent people. Religious people. You know, if you're an atheist and you kick and scream about that, sorry, you're wrong. It doesn't work. You know, the nation of virtuous atheists doesn't exist. 437-1620.
I personally believe the most important factor in our human element is faith. Our nation was founded on the value of faith, and something bigger than ourselves. My personal faith in God is the most important factor in my life. In my personal view, I'm a sinner saved by grace, by the blood of Christ. When I began my tenure as Senate President, I was clear. My First Amendment right of the free exercise of my faith did not suddenly become limited. And I certainly didn't lose it once I was sworn in to lead this chamber. In good faith, I put forward a mission statement for this Senate, something we could all rally around and pull together through. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And then these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
It's so exciting to hear a politician who's not just saying the words. You can tell. I don't know a lot about Ben Albritton, but you know how you can just tell? You can tell. He's trying hard to live this. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on 9 Mile Road going westbound toward I-10, expect a 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Ben Albritton, Senate President Ben Albritton yesterday in his opening remarks, who had just said, 1 Corinthians 13, which a lot of people know as the love passage. It's read at a lot of weddings, right? And he goes on to explain.
Faith, believing in something greater than ourselves. Hope for a better future. Everyone needs hope. Everyone thrives on hope and love. Fundamentally, loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. We should practice love as a verb. We all need love in action. It's our most common link. Our goals this session should be to practice love and joy and peace, patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, because against those things there is no law. This should rise above any form of politics.
It's so nice to hear. Listen to the fruit of the Spirit, talking about Corinthians and his faith, and even quoted from the Sermon on the Mount.
Additionally, Matthew 5:9 reminds us, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. And finally, a verse I work very hard to live out in my daily life, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
I don't know if he's a Senate president or he's the chaplain of the Senate or what, but don't you want this kind of person leading, making decisions, dealing with dissent and disagreement and minority parties, minority by votes or minority by gender or race or whatever? I just love the Spirit.
Thank you again for the trust and confidence and support that you've placed in me to serve as your president. I look forward to working with each of you this session. I'm blessed by each of you, and I love you all. God bless the Florida Senate.
I was invigorated by it. I loved hearing it. And
what an amazing speech.
Right.
Wow.
And I know some. I hear all the voices in my head. Not like I hear them out loud, like I need to be, hospitalized. But I know where the voices come from. And, one voice, how dare he put so much religion into, an elected official? How dare he not? How dare you impose your atheism or your privatism, because some people have the notion that religion is purely a private thing, your privatism on somebody else who is a man of faith, who is trying to lead by that faith and do good by his God and his creator. I want people like this in government. Listen, not just, the white guy who's maybe a Baptist. I'm guessing, I don't know what his religious affiliation is, but, I want the black activists, too, who are motivated by their religion. Martin Luther King Jr. was a preacher before he was an activist. I want them bringing their concerns into the public arena. I want more religion in public. I want more discussion about what it means to honor God and care about our eternal soul, the thing that should motivate all of us to do better. I have no listen. You know, there's this kind of long running historical argument about whether you should preach politics from the pulpit, and I think it's a dicey question. I think you should be cautious about endorsements of particular people or, you know, opposition to particular people from the pulpit. I think that's, you know, I'm never going to tell a pastor what he can or cannot do. That's his job. He's accountable to God, not me, for his church. But I think that's a, you know, I'd be cautious about that. But talking about the role of faith, the values, where do you think we get our morals from? Where do you think we get our ethics from? Not from thin air, not from John Stuart Mill, for goodness sakes, not from some, you know, separated, isolated, unanchored vision of rational morality like, you know, Immanuel Kant or something like that. No, you get it from religion. It's not always Christianity, but it comes from religion. Religion shapes morals and moral shapes law. Law is morality put with force behind it. For those who say you cannot legislate morality, show me a law that doesn't legislate morality. All laws legislate morality. Well, speeding laws. Oh, really? Saving lives is not about morality? Your obligation to protect other people's lives? That's not an ethics issue? You just haven't thought about what you've been taught to say very much. Well, we've been trained to say that you can't legislate morality. Okay, sure. Every law legislates morality. It's a question of whether it's good morality or bad morality, or a question of whether you should legislate at all or whether you should allow freedom. But that is also a moral question, whether you should permit other people to dissent from your view and allow them to do what they want to do with their life, different from what you imagine. That's also a moral question, which religiously comes from the idea that all people are made in the image of God with autonomy that we should respect. Or, let's say, for example, Sharia law, the idea that, you know, Allah makes people who have to obey, and if they don't obey, well, just kill them. I mean, that's not what all Muslims believe, but that's the Sharia vision. You know, there's a reason that Islam creates more authoritarian states, because the religion is an authoritarian religion. It's not all religions are equal. Every religion has different output in terms of its citizens. I don't have a problem with the Muslim who gets elected talking about what his faith teaches him he ought to do. That's honest. I want to be able to respond with the Bible. You know, I want to have that conversation, because what morality we're going to codify and punish violations of, and to what degree, is a religious question. So all this nonsense about making the public sphere and the, you know, the assembly hall a place that's free from religion, like the school that's free from religion, man, y'all just haven't thought all that deeply about these things. You've been trained a certain set of answers that don't really hold up under scrutiny. So I'm in a mode today, John.
Yes, you are.
This is the culmination of 4 hours of talking about this stuff. And
but you know what? You know, if people have missed it, hey, go back and listen to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. 437-1620. And by the way, I love the end part where he's talking not just to his people, but to everybody. I love all of you. And, you know, honestly, I wasn't going to play this, but it fits really well with something that Speaker of the House Danny Perez said yesterday. It was the only clip I pulled from his speech. He was not nearly as religious. He wasn't the same tone at all. But you'll hear something in it that resonates with what Ben Albritton was saying.
We stand here today ready to write the second half of our story. And I can't tell you how many reporters and lobbyists and others in the process have asked, as I'm sure you've heard, what is going to happen this session? It's like they want us to give them the ending. Honestly, I don't know what's going to happen this session. And that's okay. Because the journey is the best part of the story. I would not have traded any of the moments we have shared together. The friendships and the fights, the laughter and the tears. I would not have traded this experience just for a little more peace or a little more quiet.
It's the same thing, right? I appreciate the disagreements. I appreciate the fights. I celebrate that. I love that. I value that, the disagreement. I love all of you. We're willing to get along. 437-1620. By the way, a couple of texts in here. Somebody says Senate is the adults in the room, right? Somebody says that when it comes to I'm not sure what this is. Sorry. It changed. Somebody says Ben Albritton has been a champion for kids in foster care for years. He's a great legislator. Somebody says Albritton on level, he truly showed love to the LGBT community. How about the immigrant community? True love is bigger than just our own political and religious beliefs. Agreed. But, you know, sometimes love means saying no. Love doesn't always mean doing what somebody else wants you to do. That's true also. Somebody says, I have had the pleasure of meeting Albritton a few times. He seemed as sincere and genuine in those settings as he did here. Somebody else says, I don't believe religion is the only thing that teaches morality. I didn't grow up going to church and I have morals. It's not the only thing, but show me the community, the large society that has developed great virtue and didn't have religion going for it somehow or other. It doesn't happen. And sure, people can develop values from other places, or even atheists might be, you know, decent people. But how do you even know? What's the basis of evaluating that? Well, I mean, ultimately, it's a religious question. And by the way, if you don't believe me on this, ask yourself the question, how important to the atheist, even the decent one, is his atheism? He holds his atheism like a religion. Even atheism is a kind of religion, right? The religion of rationality, let's say. So, you know, just take that into consideration when you're thinking about this. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you are coming off the 3 mile bridge into Gulf Breeze, you're going to see maybe a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. Traffic is backing up. Other than that, we're good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, it's the holding of moral beliefs with religious conviction that actually makes people act on them. The sort of lukewarm holder of those ideas isn't going to build hospitals and teach the poor and give away their money and seek justice, right? So keep that in mind. And by the way, I know that, you know, strongly held religious beliefs also cause conflict. They also cause great things. And that's something that you a lot of times hear the left or opponents or atheists don't really acknowledge that, which they should, to be honest. Hey, if you need any work done in your home on plumbing, on electrical, on heating, on air conditioning, Peden takes care of that stuff. Ever since 1969, Robert Peden started with air conditioning. Eventually, I mean, heating's a kind of a natural corollary to that. Eventually, plumbing and electrical and generators and all of that, and then an expansion across geography from Panama City all the way east into the eastern time zone in Tallahassee and all the way west now past Pensacola into Baldwin County and even into Mobile over the last couple of years. They take care of all of it, good quality products, good installers, 100% satisfaction guaranteed. And right now, they want you to know that you can beat the annual regulatory price bumps with Peden's New Year Old Stock Sale. That means you can take up to $1,500 off the remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. So if you need, if it's time and you know it is, give them a call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com.
Making the wrong choice, choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes!
Good one, dude.
Be excellent to one another is just the more modern version of the Sermon on the Mount, right? 8:28 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Oh, give me some new order. All right. I'll take it. We need it. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. A ruling on President Trump's tariff plan could come from the Supreme Court today. The justices heard that case in early November. Monday, President Trump said, we're screwed if the high court rules against the tariffs.
I'm going to say 8-1. They're going to get struck down. Ayipa Terrace are going to get struck down 8-1, and Alito is going to vote for him.
Okay.
That's my call right now.
Did you put money on it on that new app that lets you
if I could
wager
bet,
on all that
I
stuff?
I don't bet on things like this, but if you force me to spend money, I'll bet on that outcome. Yeah.
Dolly Parton says she's not going to be able to make it to her 80th birthday bash at the Grand Ole Opry. The iconic singer's been dealing with health issues that required her to postpone a few appearances, but that show will still go on. Quite a few country stars are going to be there for that. Andrew, you've got dogs, don't you?
I do. Two little teeny tiny Australian shepherds who are, what's the word I want, crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but they're awesome for us.
This may be of interest to you today. Is National Dress Up Your Pet Day.
Americans drop $860 million every year on pet clothing. Most is spent on Halloween costumes, but the rest of the year gets some love, too. There are bunny ears, sweaters, patriotic scarves, pajamas, even booties.
See, there's a lot of options for you.
I feel a little uncomfortable with her talking about booties on the air. I just know that if we ever try to dress up our dogs like that and they look at me with those sad eyes and I just feel like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry we did this to you. So no, I'm not a dress up your dogs person.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump defunding sanctuary cities and states. Federal payments to be suspended February 1st, the president says, because they protect criminals at the expense of American citizens. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey visits Fox for the first time, says Minnesota's lawsuit is not to block federal ICE enforcement.
No, you should read the lawsuit. The lawsuit says that, hey, you know, ICE doing ICE stuff is not what we're talking about right now.
Frey claims it's the Trump ICE conduct at issue. Some 60 people in the Twin Cities charged for interfering with federal law enforcement. Iran staging the public execution of a protester with reports of thousands killed by troops. Germany's chancellor predicts the final days of the regime when they have to use force to control their people. Greenland and Denmark arrive at the White House for talks to avert a U.S. hostile takeover. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. We've got 48 degrees right now. Cloudy skies here across the area. Full check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson on the way in just a few minutes. All three Pensacola police chief candidates say they would. Grand Rapids Chief Eric Winstrom says building trust requires constant engagement.
Police chief has to be the hardest working person in the police department. Has to be the first to arrive at work, last to go. They have to accept every invitation possible that they can to meet with the community, especially if there's some urgent need, some controversial issue going on, to have those hard conversations with the community.
And that from last night's candidates forum at the Sanger, they also addressed trust issues in communities of color. Retired Tampa Chief Brian Dugan shared an example of where he fired three officers for racial profiling. He said they were stopping and searching black men without cause or documentation. Acting PPD Deputy Chief Eric Goss says Pensacola's smaller size helps to prevent some of those similar problems. The mayor and a hiring panel are interviewing those three candidates this morning, and that will be live streamed through the city website. High school graduation rates are climbing in both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. In Escambia County, 89.5% of students graduated this past school year. That's up more than 5% from the year before. West Florida High led the district at almost 100%. Escambia's rate has jumped up more than 34 percentage points since 2010. And Santa Rosa County graduation rate hit 93.1%, topping the statewide average of 92.9%. Superintendent Karen Barber credits dedicated educators and expanded career and technical education programs. The statewide graduation rate also went up, hitting just over 92%. Gulf Breeze, they're racking up a historic amount of grant funding. We get some details with News Radio's Austin Price.
The city has already brought in nearly $30 million in grant funding for this year. City Manager Samantha Abel says that's more than the previous 5 years combined. Much of the money is going toward converting homes from septic to sewer. About half the city has already made the switch. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thanks, Austin. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce taking an official stance on two big issues that could affect our local economy. They submitted letters to federal agencies opposing offshore oil and gas drilling in Florida waters.
We have some of the most beautiful waters and beaches in the world, and we don't want to see anything that could potentially negatively impact that.
and that is Chamber President and CEO Todd Thompson, who said there's no need to risk another incident that could have a negative impact, like the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill. In a separate letter, the Chamber also is pushing to expand military training opportunities at NAS Pensacola by adding a Coast Guard training center there. Escambia County's clerk is pushing back on how commissioners spend discretionary funds. Clerk Pam Childers says taxpayer money shouldn't go to nonprofits and charities because it doesn't serve a county purpose. She's denied several recent funding requests, but some commissioners disagree with that. Commissioner Lumen May says denials hurt vulnerable residents that rely on the programs. Each of the five commissioners gets $50,000 a year in discretionary funding. Board Chair Ashley Hoffberger says the issue will go before the full board for a discussion at a future meeting. Well, a bill co-sponsored by Florida Senator Ashley Moody is headed to President Trump's desk. The measure aims to stop federal payments to people who've died. Moody calls that one step closer towards ending waste and protecting taxpayer dollars. 8:35, John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. You've got some delays. If you're coming off the 3 Mile Bridge going into Gulf Breeze, you expect about a 12-minute delay there. Let's see here. I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing some light showers through those early morning hours. Then temperatures will be warming up near 60 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. For Thursday, staying chilly and breezy, sunny skies, high near 49. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 30 degrees. Keeping some sunshine around on Friday with a high near 56. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 41. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. We've got 47 degrees with cloudy skies right now. And your money now this hour. Taking a look at the markets here after the opening bell on Wall Street. The Dow is down about a tenth of a percent at 49,135. S&P down about four tenths of a percent right now at 69,34. The NASDAQ, though, up almost three quarters of a percent this morning at 23,538. Looking at that 10-year bond rate, down just a bit, 4.16% this morning. Gold prices are up $42 at 46.41.10. Make that 46.41.30 now, up a couple more cents. Silver is up just about 6.5%, $91.93 this morning. Taking a look at crypto, Bitcoin up over $1,200 at $95,547. Let's get a look at some of our financial headlines today. Consumer prices rose less than expected for December. The Labor Department reporting the Consumer Price Index showed the core CPI, excluding food and energy, was up 0.2% for the month and 2.6% on a year-over-year basis. Meanwhile, the monthly figure for headline inflation put the annual rate at 2.7%. Netflix preparing a revised and now all-cash offer for Warner Brothers Discovery's streaming and studio business. Netflix had already offered a deal worth $83 billion in cash and stock for the company. The new all-cash offer comes as Paramount Skydance has attempted a hostile takeover of Warner Brothers Discovery's entire business. It's 8:37, your next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts. And 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 when guests from Pensacola State College will be discussing everything from registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 92% of PSC students graduate loan-free? Learn more today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
What was your TV or movie dream car growing up? 437-1620, 437-1620. I know 100% what John's answer is going to be here. Easy to predict.
Oh, yeah.
I know it 100%.
And if you know me, you know it too.
I think you're going to have a common answer. 437-1620, 437-1620. What was the dream car and, you know, movie or TV or whatever that is the source of it? John, I am almost certain. I mean, I would almost bet money on this that I know what it is. But go ahead. What do you got?
78 Pontiac Trans Am.
Could it be?
Well, then I got a big bad bear story for you out there.
Oh.
I just rolled past a county mounty roadblock down there.
You are a silver-tongued devil.
That's a big 10-4, good buddy.
Well, you keep your wheels spinning and the beavers grinning in, huh? I'm out.
There you go.
Yes.
Did I predict you right?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You feel so seen.
Wow.
I knew that.
I've only talked about it for like 40 years now.
I know, right? All right, so John is the TA. John is the Trans Am. John is the... yeah.
With the W66 package on it.
Just getting excited over here.
Big bird on the hood.
That's the one. Everybody had the Matchbox car growing up. All right, 437-1620.
Some of us still do. Hey, easy.
I think I still have the brown one. I don't think I have the black one. I had a brown one that was pretty cool.
Let's paint it with a Sharpie.
All right. Meg, what was your TV movie hero car growing up, if you have one?
I don't really have one, except to say that I always thought that this is really...
I wonder how much this is a gender thing.
Because I love convertibles. I mean, I have a general love of certain cars, but I don't really have a, like John, I don't have one of those.
Sorry.
Right. No TV character, no movie character.
I always liked space cars. I like the cars that were space cars, like the Jetsons, where people would get in the car and then they would roam around in the air.
Okay.
Like a whole different, not on the road kind of cars.
Okay, so something that was just different than... Okay, that's interesting.
But then anything beyond that would be a convertible. Any convertible of any kind.
But no particular movie or anything like that.
Love James Bond's cars.
Okay, well we'll get to that. Do you have one in particular?
I just have this image of him driving through Italy, and it's the one that has the guns and all the stuff on it.
Has guns. Huh? The Aston Martin.
Aston Martins. Yeah. Okay. I guess.
I would go for the Lotus. I loved the White Lotus, the underwater car.
Oh, that's cool too.
That was definitely that was my one. I wanted because it's got rockets and it goes underwater.
Yeah,
and I mean, who wouldn't want
that's
that?
That's what but I mean. Those kind of special cool cars. Yeah.
We also have that for you.
That's
our gift.
Well, that's your Jetsons, like the Jetsons.
That's your Jetson Sky car for you.
Yeah. That's what I want. Jetsons.
All right, 437-1620. I think mine changed a little bit over time, which is okay. You know, you can evolve a little bit, but. Probably. I think if I'm being honest.
Yes, please.
And I want to always strive for being honest. The one that probably stuck with me the longest. So embarrassing. For some reason that's probably completely unrelated to who was driving the car at the time, but the black Lamborghini Countach somehow has a special place in my heart.
Really? Yeah. Can you elaborate on that for the group?
Well, I mean, it's probably not anything to do with the purple jumpsuit that Adrian Barbeau wore in Cannonball Run.
Right? I'm just wondering.
Well, now we're getting down to it.
Yes, exactly.
This isn't about cars at all.
It's purely mechanical, baby.
Yeah. This isn't about cars at all. I'm back in the frat house.
Well, it's a little bit about the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for a long time, it was definitely the Lamborghini Countach was a very fond car
about
for me.
Who's in the car. I get it.
Sure. Fair enough. All right. 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the five. John.
Oh, boy. All right. Still rolling accident free right now. I-10, I-110. Everything is looking good right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
All right. So 437-1620. Speaking not of cars at all, but if you have a kid who's struggling at all with math or used to do well, now not so much, or used to love it, now not so much, or never has. I mean, a lot of them maybe never has enjoyed math. Go to Mathnasium. Look, we have some of our best friends, Donna and Dana, they own Mathnasium. It's a great program. My son worked there for a year as a tutor, loves the program. We believe in it. I know it works. 94% of parents report an improvement in their child's math skills and understanding. It works, okay? 90% see an improvement in their school grades. And by the way, some of the students who go there aren't just students who are struggling, but students just want to do better. You know, they already do well and they want to do even better, because if you're not good at math, it never gets better on its own. And the assessment that you start off with is completely free, totally complimentary. Okay, you learn from that what they can do, where they need to work on, and how they can help you. Because if you don't get the building blocks right, then the structure isn't right, and that's the whole problem. Okay, and right now, by the way, they have this interesting thing for the new year. They've got a tracking, like a math tracker. It's just a piece of paper, and you can write down the things that you're doing to improve on math, or, you know, it's tracking activity. Completely free, no obligation. If you want to stop by and pick one up, they have those available for you. But Mathnasium is located next to Marshall in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. All right, 437-1620. I haven't even looked to see how many texts we got on this. Only 16. But here we go. 437-1620. The question is, what was the TV or movie car that you just had to have as a kid, that you really, really, really wanted as a kid? I think my fallback, by the way, would be the Starsky and Hutch car. That was because I loved Starsky and Hutch as a young kid. But then, you know, evolution happened. Other things took over. Let's see. Somebody says, oh, the Fall Guys truck. Wow. That's a nice grab. Wow. The Daytona Ferrari from Miami Vice. Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that having influenced a lot of people. Oh, I love this one. The Munsters car. That's awesome. That's cute. I love it. The black and gold 1977 Pontiac Trans Am, only later to be usurped by Kit. Oh, you know, I don't have a sound effect for Kit, so nice answer, Michael. Kit is a great example of a car that I think a lot of people wanted. Herbie the Love Bug.
Oh, I remember Herbie.
The intact version or the sawed in half version? Just kidding.
Nightmares.
Well, it's a movie.
I know, but still.
Don't bring it up. Yeah. Oh, here you go. Here's a little throwback. Corvette Summer, the red one. That's nice.
Yes, all I right. love that.
Oh, I love this. Herbie or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I love Chitty. This is a great movie, by the way. You should go back and watch. I just recently watched that. That is a great movie. And makes funny noises, and that's what makes it good. Let's see. Somebody is putting in here. Okay. It took him 35 years, but he finally got one. It's the red Porsche 944 from, I think this is from, is this All the Right Moves? Is this Pretty in Pink? I'm just sorry. I can't remember which movie it was from. I think it's Matt Dillon in front of it. I think it's Pretty in Pink, if I remember correctly. So, no, that's nice. Oh, my favorite car would be Airwolf. Well, then Blue Thunder. I mean,
Airwolf was better.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I just like the Airwolf better.
What?
I'm sorry, but I hate to break your...
Look, I love Airwolf. Don't get me wrong. They're both fantastic, but... Over Blue Thunder?
Yes.
I don't even know what y'all are talking about. You see Andrew's face right now. This is definitely...
We're just going to move on. We're just going to move on. Just when I think I know you, Meg. Magnum's Ferrari. Nice. It's a 328. Forget now. But yeah. Oh, this is one. I was actually prepared for this one. I thought somebody might give me this answer, but okay.
Hey, Doc, are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we sure enough did. 437-1620. Let's see what else. The Black Jaguar modified to mimic a hearse from Harold and Maude. Well, that is an obscure grab.
Wow.
But nice.
That I remember. Gosh. Wow.
Let's see. Somebody says the black long bed C10 Chevy from Dazed and Confused and most of the other cars in that movie. Oh, Lone Wolf McQuade, the Dodge Ram Charger Supercharged. You guys are giving me some really good answers here. The white Ferrari Testarossa from Miami Vice was pretty sweet. Let's see. The All the Right Moves was a Stingray. Black 65 black Corvette. The show was Stingray, not a movie. Okay. Split decision between the Blues Brothers police car or the Ghostbusters ambulance.
Oh, the Ghostbusters.
I'll say the Ghostbusters modified hearse is pretty good. 69 Dodge Charger with a 440 Magnum didn't have to be orange.
Please.
Flintstones.
I love that.
The Flintstones Cadillac. Sonny Crockett's Ferrari GTS. The GTO from Dazed and Confused. Oh, this is a good one. Mad Max's car from The Road Warrior.
Ooh.
That's a pretty sweet ride. Yeah, I'll take that. Michael Lowry's 946 Lowry. 911 Turbo from the first Bad Boys. Like that. Let's see. Oh, and Paul Walker's GTR from Fast and Furious, too.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. We're getting some really good, all kinds of different. Nobody's mentioned the Batmobile yet.
Well, keep reading.
All right. I'm fine. We'll get there.
I'm just.
I don't know what people, what grasps people's attention, but lots of opportunities here.
Batmobile. Let's go.
Let's see. Oh, the Mustang from Bullet, the fastback. Uncle Buck's station wagon.
Oh.
The brown and carbureted GTO from the Monkees TV show.
Oh, yeah.
The DeLorean. Nash Bridges yellow Hemi Cudas convertible. Oh, the speed racer car.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. Let's see. Oh, the Ferrari was a 308, not a 328. Thank you. The 1958 light blue T-Bird convertible, because that's what the young doctor in town drove. Like that. The TA from Smoking the Bandit. Steve McQueen's car and Bullet. Oh, the General Lee.
I know.
I actually thought maybe I'd get you wrong and I would be wrong to guess that it was going to be the TA. All right.
I need to put that on the Mustang.
The A-Team van, yes. Lightning McQueen, oh, I like that. That's good. And the 1961 Ferrari GT, 250 GT California Spider from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It is so choice.
Oh. Yes, for sure.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My father spent 3 years restoring this car. It is his love. It is his passion. It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
I just felt like paying that one off a little bit for you, because why not?
Oh, yeah.
8:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We got school grades. Well, not school grades. Graduation rates, what the governor touted yesterday in his State of the State speech. But local graduation rates, we got the information in. And some interesting numbers here. Let's see. In Escambia County, the rate is up significantly from the prior year. It's at 89.5% graduation, up from 84.2, which itself was up from 80.5, which is up from 78.4. We are in the middle of a four-year uptrend in Escambia County. It was 78.4, man, 2021 to 2022. COVID sucked for everything. I mean, COVID really decimated education. You can see the chart. It was going up consistently from 2009 to 2010 all the way through that year, and then it dropped off significantly. Actually, this will freak you out. You ready? You know what the graduation rate in Escambia County was in 2009? 55%.
Excuse me?
55%. We have made dramatic improvements in Escambia County education in the last 16 years. It was 55, then it was 57, then it was 62, 64, 66, 77, 76, 79, 80, 84, 85, 87, and then it dropped off. So dramatic improvements in the 55%. That is unbelievable. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We are rolling accident-free and delay-free. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, Santa Rosa County, in case you're wondering, is 93.1% for last year. That's an increase from 90.9%. So that's good news. The statewide number is 92.9%. So Escambia County still does trail the statewide average. I don't think that's a big surprise, but it's closer. It's within 3.5-4% of the statewide average. So, you know, you have that. Also, I asked the I asked for those numbers for going back historically because I was curious what they were. But I also got sent from the superintendent's office. I got sent the last 6 years worth of by race numbers, which, man, it's so sobering to think about the race divide in education in America, and, you know, particularly in Escambia County. So over the last 6 years, white students are graduating at a rate of 89, 88, 84, 86. This is going forward from 2019, 86, 88, and then 91. 91.4% is the white graduation rate. The Asian graduation rate, by the way, 97, 96, 95, 94, 95, 98.5, 99 almost percent. So better. Asians graduate, more emphasis on education. It just is. The Hispanic rate is 87, 86, 75, 82, 84, and then 91. Comparable to the white rate, but lower. In the same vicinity, but still lower. And then this is the one that when we have a lot of room to improve here. But it is, I mean, it's terrible compared to the rate for other races. But in the black community, 80%, 85, 67 in the COVID year, 71, 78, and now 86. So 86 compared to 91 for whites, blacks and whites, is still only 5 points. That's in some years, that's been a much wider gap. So that's improvement too. But that's still, there's room to grow. There's opportunity to improve. And that's one of the things, I don't know if I want to draw a straight line between the improving numbers over the last several years and the Escambia Children's Trust. I'm cautious about those kinds of things. But this is doing better. We're doing better in general, doing better across kind of the racial gap, which is, I mean, that just is and has a long time been that way. So it's improvement. Also, for high schools in particular, if you want to know the particular high schools, I don't have the numbers for Santa Rosa. The numbers are pretty high to begin with. But in Escambia County, the numbers for last year, Escambia High was 94.5. Pensacola was 92.5. Tate was 98, 97.5. Pine Forest is 89. Booker T. Washington is 93. Northview is 95. West Florida, which is the, you know, the magnet school for career academies, is 99.7%, which is, you know, fantastic. But, you know, that's normal based on selectivity and the level of commitment by the people that are there. So anyway, just, you know, those are your numbers in Escambia County. And as I mentioned, Santa Rosa County, we've long had a Santa Rosa County outperforms Escambia County in terms of almost every metric, but certainly with graduation. But again, that's a good rate for Escambia County, and it has been improving. And, you know, give credit where it's due. Despite all the things that catch our attention and make us think that the sky is falling, the sky is much better than it used to be. It's much better than it used to be. Do we still have a lot of room for improvement? Absolutely we do. Lots of room for improvement. A couple of points is, you know, a few hundred kids at least, right? But it's good news. I mean, I take this as a win, and they're right to brag about it. Santa Rosa's right to brag about it. This is good stuff. All right, Meg is up next with pep talk, all kinds of good things I would expect. Maybe she can explain why women are less interested in the cars on TV.
Local Talk in the Morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3.